Hey everyone, we are live for our Sunday weekly warm-up. I'm so thrilled to be here with all of you and of course highlighting one of our community members who is just an all-star. I know Jeff sang her praises during our Wednesday wake-up recently. I know that a lot of you have already connected with Andrea. You've seen her website, you've read her book, but it's going to be a great conversation. We are really excited to be streaming exclusive to our private Facebook group. So for those of you who are willing, we'd love to see you in the comments, sharing your excitement, but also sharing any questions you have. This is a live show, and we love to share resources and ideas throughout the show. So please utilize this space as a wonderful brainstorming opportunity. We will be right back. Hey everyone, we are live for our Sunday weekly warm-up here exclusive to our private Facebook group. And then the next day, of course, streaming everywhere on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn, and becoming an episode of Teach Better Talk podcast. Andrea, it's so wonderful to have you be our guest today because I have always enjoyed our conversations. I'm thrilled that you're here. How has your Sunday been for you?
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks for having me. It's awesome to be here. My Sunday's been great. Always fast, right? Our weekends are always pretty quick, but just a lot of family things and gearing up for the week.
Yes, getting ready for a good week ahead. My mom's birthday falls in the middle of the week, and then it's Mother's Day next weekend. So I just feel like this coming week has to be good of wonderful things. I'm very hopeful for what we have coming. So I'm going to send that energy out into the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And the month of May, right? It's a lot of pomp and circumstance, the holidays, the fun stuff at school. So it's a good time to be around.
I love it. We already have people jumping in, saying hello, using those green hearts. You guys know we love so much. It's so wonderful to see you all. And Andrea, as I know you already know, and some of our regulars here understand, our Sunday weekly warm-up is streamed exclusive in our private group on Sunday. So any comment you share, any thoughts you have, any resources you want to share, every single person can see them, which is what I love about being able to stream one location. That way, if you have some great idea that Andrea and I are discussing about, it's not just something that her and I will see, but something that everyone in our community will be able to benefit from. So we love those messages, and Bree is giving us a great reminder that is Teacher Appreciation Week coming up here, I guess officially starting tomorrow, but why not start today, right, Andrea?
Why not? It's a fun week at school, and I'm sending a lot of love to everybody out there. I hope that you have a great week ahead.
Oh, so good. And for those of you who may not be on our email list, this is probably your last call. Go join our email list. You can do that on the homepage of teachbetter.com. But we have some fun freebies coming up to you for Teacher Appreciation Week. I just love that we are able to shower educators with giggles and fun and freebies, hopefully all the time, but especially this week. I love Teacher Appreciation Week.
Me too. You know, I've seen so many cool things out there that teams have been doing for their teachers where it comes to like an early release day, or I saw a principal take his team to the Phillies game this weekend, which was super fun. Shout out to Principal L for taking his teachers to Phillies games this weekend, and just like, you know, small or large, just a lot of appreciation.
Yeah, so good. You know, Andrea, as we get into this conversation, I guess I'm realizing 4 minutes in that maybe everyone may not know you, even though you are very, very, very active in our Teach Better family. I would love to have you share a little bit about what you do in education, your title, your role. Obviously, you're an author. I mentioned your book earlier. I know we're going to get into so many different conversations, but do you want to maybe set the stage for us getting started?
Sure. So, hey, everybody. My name is Andrea Bittner. I am an English language learner teacher based just outside of Philadelphia, PA. In my 23rd year of teaching, didn't start out that way. Started out as a high school English teacher. So shout out to all of the high school people out there. I spent a couple years at the high school, but one of the things that persuaded me to make a change was I was hired right over the weekend out of Westchester University as a high school teacher, given all of the freshmen in the building, and they hated school. And I didn't know why, because I was this bright-eyed, bushy-tailed girl coming out of college, ready to roll, you know, off of a really fun student teaching experience. And I quickly figured out that they couldn't read. They didn't know how to read and they were a high school freshman. And so I went back to school again and became a reading specialist, and I worked with middle school. So I love working with the middle school peeps as well, and spent some time with middle school kids in Title I, working as a reading specialist with 6, 7, and 8. And then I started to get really curious about working with English language learners, because I had a couple kids come through the program and this awesome grade level partner, Mike, across the hall. And I started to say, well, what tools do I need to do that? And so I went back to school again and became an EL teacher. So most of my career, 16 of the 23 years, has been spent as a support role. I've been spending most of my time as EL teacher or Title I reading, and now I'm full-time L teacher.
Andrea, there's so many things I love about your journey. One of the takeaways I'd love to highlight for our community here is the fact that you allowed for your passion and your calling to drive the decisions you made to further your role in education. I think so many of us, myself included, entered into the field and really wanted to have like the 30-year plan already planned. And so many of us were like, okay, right. Like we were like, okay, the third year, I got to start my master's right away. And my, you know, the next journey is going to be this certificate or this specific role. And something I always enjoy about your story of how you've kind of evolved in education, it sounds truly organic and from a place of passion, which I really want to applaud you for.
Thank you. It really is. It was really just a lot of pivots for me. I mean, we all pivot all the time, 500 times a day, but every time I figured out that there was something I wasn't sure of, I wanted to know more about it.
I think that's such a beautiful thing. You know, it's funny, Andrea, earlier today, literally, I was like going through some stuff that, you know when you move and then you like never open like 10 boxes and you're like, what's in these boxes? I have to know. It's been 15 years. So I opened up one of them truly today, and I found a memento, I don't know, I guess a memento box of something my mom had been collecting since I was a kid, that when they moved out of their home that I grew up in, she must have given all the kids these boxes of things that she had saved. One of the things she had saved was something from kindergarten class. And I wrote in this how much I hated to read. I'm already at kindergarten. I had decided I hated reading. And it's comical because that's a narrative I took with me my entire time through school. It's funny now that you've had the exposure to students who struggle to read and then identified that that led them to not like school and other things that you felt like you had an impact of resolving for them.
Yes. And it didn't matter, you know, because I worked with K through 12 in various ways. And when kids have had unsuccessful experiences prior to, you know, meeting myself or the teams that I was working with, they had a really bad taste in their mouth about reading. And so that carried with them until we could kind of start to figure out how to change that.
So important for so many students. And I just want to give a shout out to all the educators listening in live with us. Thank you for your comments. I love seeing you guys here with us. If you have any questions for Andrea anytime throughout the show, please make sure you ask. We are monitoring those comments to make sure that we are making this the best show humanly possible for what you guys need. And something I really want to emphasize, Andrea, is you would be such a wonderful person, whether it be tonight or even a month from now, for someone in our network to reach out to pick your brain about making some of those hard decisions about changing jobs, furthering your education, kind of. I've heard a lot of educators wrestling with this journey, maybe having something that's like pushing them to make a change. And it sounds like you have really done that in a way that is focused on the possibilities of your impact, which I really think is so just inspiring, truly inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah. Anytime, you know, I always say that, you know, when something's knocking, usually it knocks loud enough until you're going to hear it, you know? So if there's any time where you feel like I could be helpful that way, absolutely.
So Andrea, earlier this week, I believe it was Friday, Jeff and I went live and we talked about the news that we had released on Thursday. For those of you who may not have caught it, the team is kind of struggling through a fraudulent check scheme that you can read more about. Go read the statements over with the team if you want to see kind of what the story is. And of course, we're able to answer any of those questions as well. But we're excited that our lawyers are going to do good work for us. I will say though, Andrea, during that live, Jeff just sang your praises. And I know that he gets to work with you a lot in the Edupreneur Mastermind, which is a weekly get together for educators who are kind of pursuing something outside of like the teaching field, kind of more business-y. Will you tell us a little bit about why you joined that group, what your experience has been? It's not really something we talk a lot about here on Live.
Yes, I absolutely love our edupreneur group. They have been quickly become my, you know, second family that we meet with once a week and have taught me so much, not only about myself, but about how to navigate this new world of, you know, having this passion in addition to your daily teaching every day, and you have no idea how to navigate it. And so it's been an awesome experience. I've been involved with it for over a year now with this group, but this was kind of another organic experience for me. So we can talk about, if you want, Take Me Home, but I had written this book called Take Me Home, and it was released in July of 2021. And it was doing really well around the country and getting into the hearts and hands of educators everywhere. And something that kind of naturally happened from it was teachers and districts started to call me and say, we absolutely love this book for our kids and our teachers. Will you come talk to our schools? And I was like, well, sure, you know, but how do you do that? You know, I had no idea, you know, in terms of the navigation of the business side of the world and the connection side of the world. And I had this presentation design that I could put together and I did that, but I wasn't sure what to do next. And so from there, I joined the Edupreneur group because I had seen this information piece come out about meet with like-minded people who are amazing human beings who are out there doing great stuff in the world, connect with them and let's root for each other and see everybody win. And that's kind of the mentality of our group that I've come to love the most is that, you know, if you have a problem, they usually have a solution and you feel good about offering solutions, vice versa.
I love that you took the plunge into that group. And I feel like it's a group that we don't highlight enough here within just the Teach Better family, because it is such a supported network that you can choose to join if you feel like you're a good fit. I know there's very limited spots, but if you want to learn more, there is like a whole like end of our website that if you go to teachbetter.com, you can see like the details of Edupreneur Mastermind. But, you know, it's interesting, Andrea, I'm sure as you've experienced, people might come to you like they come to me to pick my brain, like, oh, what is it like to speak all the time? Or what's it like to write a book? Or, you know, what does a contract look like when you're working with the school district? And of course, we are happy to answer any of those questions anytime people have them. Like, I just believe that the more information we have, the more successful we can be. But what I love about this group that it sounds like you've been able to enjoy is, yeah, it's wonderful to get that one question answered, but you always have more after that. There's always more you could be doing. So this weekly meeting kind of allows you to do that gut check. Like, do I want to take on more? Am I happy where I am? Or do I want to continue to further this impact? It's just kind of a cool concept. And I know a lot of familiar faces are in there.
It really is. And it's been such a confidence booster, you know, for every single person in that group to come there and go, am I really going to be good at this? Like, I feel like I have something extra to offer the world, but I don't know, you know, and everybody in the group's like, no, you know, keep going, keep swimming, keep paddling. Like you've been put here to do something in addition. There are many ways to serve. This is what I've learned from that group. There are many ways to serve. And this is another way you can do it to help teachers. And that's what I love most about it.
So good. You know, Andrew, you brought up exactly where I wanted to transition. Your wonderful book that's had a huge impact. I have loved every time I've been able to chat with you about your book. We're going to transition here into our discussion. I hope you guys stick with us as we dive into some very, very important topics that you can bring into your classroom as early as this coming week. Hey everyone, we are continuing our Sunday weekly warm-up here with Andrea Bittner. My name is Ray Hewart, and Andrea, just before we came live, I told you I was going to kick a dog out of my office so he wasn't loud, and he is laying so up against the door that I kicked him out of. His ear is underneath the door. I can see it from my chair, so apparently that wasn't the right move. Andrea, as we get into our discussion, I can only imagine that the strategies, the ideas, your passion really comes from the book that you were able to write. And I know that not only this book was your story, your experience, but your students as well. I love being able to read books that have the student lens. I know you gave us a little snippet of what that book was about earlier, but would you mind highlighting that a little bit further for us?
Absolutely. So about 10 years ago, I was working with about 40 different English language learners at the high school level, and they had about 25 different languages, and they came from all walks of life. We had kids that were adopted. We had exchange students. We had kids that had crossed the border. We had kids that had waited for a visa for 10 years and came after their parents. We had kids that had waited for 10 years for a visa and set up shop before their parents. And we had lots of kids that were born here. And so we had this really diverse group of kids. And they came in at different grade levels. So we had this short window of time in grades 9 to 12 to work with them. And they came in at different proficiency levels of English. So we had, you know, I always say the clock is ticking for their free education. And so we had this classroom banner set up that said, education is opportunity. Education is freedom. What's your plan? Because we knew that their only plan couldn't be, I'm going to return to my country right now. And their only plan couldn't be, I'm not going to be successful in school if they came from, you know, this district down the street or a state over. Because what we would say to them is, your parents have gifted you with the opportunity to become bilingual. Your teachers have gifted you with the opportunity to become bilingual. And so when you leave this space, you have to have a plan. And so from that mentality, we have this great family of students and teachers and teams that work with these kids. And we had one particular family, the Lopez family, and I happened to work with all 7 of their children. And there were all boys and one girl. It was from Sergio all the way down to Nancy. And they happened to be kids that had crossed the border. And so we worked with these kids through this wonderful program, and they all graduated from our program. And one day I was teaching outside and I saw a bunch of helicopters, and I thought, like, wow, I hope everything's all right. There's a lot of helicopters outside today. And about an hour after I was teaching, my principal came down to get me to let me know that one of my students had been hit by the train. And unfortunately, that student was Nancy, and she died that day. And so from that experience, and in the coming weeks, we went into a huge sense of trauma. We worked with the family. Mom is still learning English. Dad was still learning English themselves. We worked with the local law force, because on that very day when mom and dad received that news, one of the most challenging parts for them is that because they were still learning English, no one on the local force spoke Spanish. And so when they got a call that something had happened, they could kind of put together that something was wrong, and they could kind of put together that something had happened to one of the kids, but they didn't know who it was. So they started calling all the children to figure out who was missing. And so when they got up to the tracks, they stood there for hours waiting to try and find out what had happened to Nancy. And so in those coming weeks, we worked with immigration. We worked with the schools. We worked with the funeral parlor. We worked with the Latino community that came to sit with mom and dad every single night. And one of my jobs at that time, in addition to that, was to speak at her funeral. And so at the time, I wrote this short poem, and we called it Take Me Home. And it was an homage to Nancy's crossing in life in the U.S. So I continued to read that at her funeral. And I worked with these kids. And a couple months later, I kept that piece of paper out on my desk. And I thought, maybe somebody could use a piece of this story. Maybe it would be helpful to them. And so I sent that piece of paper out on a whim to a bunch of publishers. And a little bit later, a publisher got back to me and they said, hey, Andrea, we really like your poem, but we don't want you to write a poem. We want you to write a book. And we're going to give you 6 months to do it. And if you come back with something that we like, we're going to take you on and publish it. And I started to think, right, I don't just want to tell her story. I want to tell all their stories, because they're so different. And in my experience as an English language teacher, I've found that a lot of educators make this assumption that they're all the same. Or that if they're from this country, it means they have this experience. If they're from that country, it means they're coming in with that experience. And so I set out in that 6 months interview 11 of my former English language learners who are now in their late 20s, early 30s. And I said to them, we did a great job with your education and navigating your challenges and your ups and downs and everything in between. But now that you're a young bilingual professional living and working out in the world, and you have the skills to reflect on that experience, what was school really like for you? And so from those conversations, we hit almost every continent, and we hit almost every type of situation we could think of. We created Take Me Home, and it's told through their eyes, this first person, with names of strength, like grit and fuel and surge and charge and navigate and shine. And we were also able to include Nancy's story through it, I was able to interview mom and dad. So we created Take Me Home. It's the true story of 11 of our former L's who give a firsthand account of what it's really like to become bilingual in America. And it's written in English and it repeats in Spanish in the same book.
Oh my gosh.
It's my long-winded answer.
but just the most necessary answer. I knew that story, and still every time you share it, I'm like, I know this is so dumb, but like every time you share it, I'm surprised that Nancy dies. Like I just, every time you share it, I just have this hope, like, but it couldn't be the way I remember. It sounds such a difficult situation, both for students and families, but gosh, for teachers. We have such hearts in this game. And I just think that your approach in honoring Nancy's story and the 11 other students that you were able to highlight, I mean, holy moly, not just impactful for teachers, but also students that are finding themselves in similar programs and needing to navigate their way in this very strange world that we've put them in. So such important work. You know, I know that a lot of our Teach Better content has to do with actionable steps. And while I wish an actionable step was, hey, just read this with your students because it'd be really worthwhile, I'm sure there's other things that teachers could do too to be impactful. So how do we turn these narratives, these incredible stories and the things that you've learned into action steps for our community here?
I think the first thing you have to consider is that lack of language never equals lack of intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I think that through these conversations with these young adults, that was the first message that shined through. They had some experiences at points in their career and still do now as young adults, where people make an assumption that because their English sounds broken, that means that their IQ is broken too. And that's not the case. And so I think that I would really encourage the community to, instead of being cautious when you hear you're getting an English language learner on your roster, start to get really curious and ask a ton of questions. And so you want to start to think about things like first language literacy. Where's my EL teacher? Can I find out what their formal schooling was like before? I've had kids who were formally educated in boarding schools and came from prestigious places in Africa. I've had kids who were never in school and had interrupted schooling. We received some Ukrainian students a few weeks ago who had spent time in the Ukraine, had to leave, spent 6 months in Germany in a refugee camp learning German, and now they're here and they're learning English. I've had kids who were taught English and French in their schools, right? So there's all these different experiences they've had. So start to get really curious about asking a lot of questions. The other piece I always encourage people to consider is that this chapter of their lives is such a short transition for them. And so it's really important that you remember that to treat this chapter like an asset and not a deficit, because their parents are counting on you to lead them through one of the most challenging points of their life. And so it's such an important role you're playing in their transition into becoming bilingual. So never think that your acts won't matter. The other thing they asked people to give them was time. Learning English takes time. And that academic piece can take up to 10 years. That social piece can take up to 5. You can have a silent period in the beginning where you're not saying anything and you're absorbing and it's all normal. And so it's just really important to remember, I'm a fan of Ed Milet, and he tells the story about this pinata. And I talk about that in my presentation sometimes, but it's, you have to remember that you're going to be taking a lot of invisible swings for a really long time for your English language learners, but it doesn't mean that their pinata is never going to break. You just might not be there when it does, but you had a piece of it. You had a role in it. And when you handed that bat off to the next person for the next year or the next semester. So just keeping in mind that all these moving parts are going on are some of the messages that are central to the story.
Ugh. Andrea, this is why I love being a part of Any Live with you, because I feel like you truly give us things to consider that are actionable. I do want to push back a little, because I'm just thinking through, we have such a wide variety of educators in the Teach Better family, and whether people are tuning in live right now, maybe they catch this later. Obviously it's going to stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn tomorrow. And then of course become an episode of Teach Better Talk podcast. I know that there's going to be one educator, maybe only one, at least one, who's going to sit back and listen to this and think, oh my God, Andrea is amazing. OMG, Ray sounds wonderful this afternoon. And then they're going to be thinking, wow, Andrea, that's a really, really good story. I'm so glad that you're doing this work, but this doesn't apply to my students. I know that they're going to think that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to emphasize how what you're discussing now, regardless of the severity, there are situations like this in every single classroom. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. I mean, one important thing to know is that 1 in 5 families are now English language learning families. So across the country, chances are you're going to have an English language learner on your roster. If you haven't already, you will in the future. The other important piece to remember is that most of them are born here. And so their first experience with school is going to be when they come into the classroom at the kindergarten level. Maybe they've been speaking Spanish at home with mommy, you know, for the first 5 years of their life, and you're their kindergarten teacher. So yes, you may think, you know, I've had that experience, right? I work with, you know, over 400 students right now in our district. But there are schools and, you know, places I've traveled through the country that have thousands of English language learners. There are schools that I've met with that have 20, you know, but, you know, chances are you will have one in the future because the populations are growing. The most popular languages right now in our country are Spanish, Arabic, and Chinese. And so the data suggests that within the next 15 plus years, they are going to be equal to English across the country.
Mm. Such a good reminder for every educator. Remember that regardless of what a student looks like, that doesn't necessarily mean they are not an English learner. And it's always wonderful to learn about the backgrounds of each and every one of your students to better understand that incredible history that they can share with your classroom. Andrea, as we kind of wrap up our conversation here, I know that they're going to, everyone in our community needs to grab your book, hopefully reach out to you for any question they may have or strategy. The other thing I know they can reach out to you for is any sort of professional development that they're looking for in their school building, either at a team level, a district level, a school level, whatever they want. But if I was to ask you what your soapbox message would be, if you only had one thing that you hope everybody could take away from our conversation here, what would you challenge our group with?
I would challenge you to remember this slogan. Instead of looking at someone learning English and saying, I want English now, look at that person and flip the script and look at them and say, you're learning English? Wow. And I really hope that people take that idea to heart. And when they meet people learning languages, consider that.
We'll be right back. Hey everyone, as we wrap up our Sunday weekly warm up, we want to celebrate all of you in the comments. Thank you for being here. This is your final call for posting any questions that you may have. There's been some good conversation, also some good aha moments that have been shared. Andrea, they are loving quoting you, kind of looking at like, ooh, this was a great one-liner, or oh my gosh, I really love this mentality. So thank you for sharing all of those ideas. Andrea, before we get into our last little spit here, I would love to have you share how people can stay connected. I know you have a website, you're on social media. Give me all that jazz.
Thank you so much. So you can reach out to me. I do have a website. It is AndreaBittnerBooks.com, where you can learn more about our journey. You can connect with me directly. You can look at the professional development opportunities that I'm offering for districts next year. I have the honor of teaching ELLS daily still and being supported by my district to go travel the country and inspire and help awesome educators like you. So you can check that stuff out there. I'm also on social media. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on LinkedIn at Bittner Andrea.
So powerful. Andrea, as we wrap up here, I just want to thank you for coming live with me on a Sunday. I know that you've had a busy weekend, you have a busy week ahead, but like we started our show, I really do think that we have wonderful things coming. If not anything, my mother's 60th birthday, which is going to be a huge celebration. We should all celebrate, but what do you think is going to be a positive of your week coming up? I would love to hear in the comments, anybody willing to share what their maybe predicted victory or predicted celebration will be. Andrea, do you think you have one?
For this week, I'm extremely excited because state testing is over and we get to get back to normal this week. So the kids are excited about that. And we've got some fun district-wide EL field trips we planned. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, wait, tell us about that. You can't just like leave that open like that. That's wonderful.
So we became big believers in the idea that helping our elves feel like less isolated is really important. And so we wrote some grants, and we take our elf students district-wide on 4 community experiences a year, where they get to meet other kids from every other building and have mentors at the higher level, where they get to see other kids who are speaking Arabic and Spanish and Mandarin, et cetera. And so we get the opportunity to go on our 4th trip of the year this year, and the kids have been asking about it for months, so they're excited.
Oh, that's such a good win. Wonderful. As we're waiting for our comments to come in of their wins, I'm gonna go with my mom's birthday for sure, because she's like the queen of all queens. But let's see, another professional celebration. My week coming up is full of meetings. And while I know that meetings can be a negative, I'm kind of excited to sit with people that I value and respect and enjoy the brainstorming that can come of productive solution-seeking meetings. I think those are really, really wonderful things.
They are.
Yeah, really, really good. Well, we are going to wrap up our show here, but I want to say thank you again, Andrea, for all that you do. And I'm excited for you to continue to be a part of this incredible Teach Better family. Thank you. Thank you again. And for everyone who joined us live, thank you for joining us. And we hope to see you on Wednesday for our live show. And then again next Sunday as we wrap up the month of May before our summer break for these live streams. Thanks again, Andrea.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye.